Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. Theme of, I believe next week, either next week or the week after, Pastor Dean Elders is going to come and minister again. But I was following the theme from the conference, a little bit of a different twist. But tonight I want to start a series on applying the Word of God. And it's so important to understand, and I want to hope to open up by the Spirit how we apply the Word of God. Now, sometimes we make the gospel difficult, but the gospel is pretty simple. If you obey, amen. The scripture says that he made it so that even a child could do it. And so if a child would follow the simple leading of the Spirit, he or she could do the gospel. And we have to become like children in the fact that we accept and believe the word as it is spoken to us. So I want to talk about that. And we're going to look at how people did and did not apply the word in their lives as in examples throughout the Bible. And then we're going to look at some other things in that. So our initial texts, we're going to start in Matthew. We'll go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. So let's go there, and then we'll go to Matthew 13, 18 through 23. So let's go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And as we go there, we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. And we just ask that you, by your Spirit, would open our ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us. Help us to know how to do your word, apply your word, and be changed by your word. And Father, I just pray that the words that I speak are the words that you've given me to speak, that they would bring life to the hearer, and help us to be doers, Lord, and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So you're going to have to turn the overhead off first and then start it up, because you won't see it if you don't do it. All right. So let's go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And these are scriptures that most of us have read and some of us have memorized. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So the emphasis here is on verse 24. It says, those who hear these sayings and what? Does them, or is a doer, not just a hearer. Amen? Amen. Then let's go to Matthew 13. What did I say? 13, 18 through 23. And this is the description or the explanation of the parable of the sowers. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it, and with joy, receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Now, one thing about this parable, and I'll just say this real quick, and then we'll go to the other parts of the message, is that even though Jesus does not mention the fourth type of seed, but it could be assumed that the fourth person, or the good soil described here, went through all the things that the other seeds went through, right? So we could assume that the enemy tried to come and steal the word, right? Everybody knows that that's what happens. You hear the word, and the enemy tries to bring confusion to you in after you hear the word. We can also assume that the good seed had to go through tribulation and persecution because of the word. We can also assume that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches tried to choke the word out. Right? That would be a fair assumption, right? Because all of us have to go through these things. None of us are exempt. But it says here in the fourth part of the parable that this person that received the seed on good ground pushed through all those things, and despite of going through those things, still was able to bear fruit in with the word growing and taking root in his heart. Are you with me here? And it's important to see, although that's not said in the parable, it's clear that this is a part of what you have to go through in order for the word to grow in you. You cannot grow in the word, or the word cannot produce fruit in you unless you go through the enemy trying to steal from you, going through situations where people persecute you. You cannot grow in the word without the cares of this life trying to get you to compromise. And you have to push past all those things to allow the word to be real to you. And you have to be like Job, though God slay me, I'm going to still trust him. This is what happens when the word produces. But you cannot be like the other three seeds and just kind of give up the ship when the troubles come. And a lot of people who want to be Christians, who have started out being Christians, many of us know these people, they start out, they're on fire for the Lord, they sharing the gospel with everybody they run across, and man, they're so fired, they're at church every time the church doors open, and about 2 or 3 years later, life sets in. And life starts to pull on their faith, and they have to make a choice: who are you going to follow? The Lord or life? And we have to push past life and trust that the word will grow in our hearts 30, 60, and 100-fold of what God wants to do in our hearts. Is that clear to everybody? Amen. So let's go to the next scripture, which is Mark 11, 20 through 24. Mark 11 Mark chapter 11 verses 20 through 24. Now this is one of the great stories lessons that Jesus teaches, but let's start with the verse 20. It says, now in the morning as they passed by the fig, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And we talked about last week about some people say, well, he's not really talking about real mountains here, and you know, don't take anything literal, but we went through the Old Testament and saw that God can literally move mountains if he needs to. Amen? We saw that he moved the Red Sea. Now, how many know the Red Sea is a little bit even more difficult than a mountain because it's just water? Well, I guess to God, nothing's more difficult. Amen? But we also saw how he stopped the sun and the moon twice. Twice. We know it in Joshua, but a lot of people don't realize that during Hezekiah, when Hezekiah, we always talk about Hezekiah. I think somebody even had preached a sermon, the man who lived 15 years too long, because Hezekiah brought the Babylonians to see all in his house, and God said, well, these are the people that are going to take all this stuff from you. And they say, well, he shouldn't have done that. But when Hezekiah was about to die and he prayed for God to heal him, God turned the sundial back and made the sun go backwards because Hezekiah asked him to give him that as a sign. So God can do the impossible. And everybody, all the astronomers, all the physicists, all the people that look at the stars and say, they say, you can't, the sun can't stop it. We can't stop orbiting around the sun. And if we do, the whole universe will collapse on itself. How many know, first of all, the earth is in the air anyway. So if God wants to hold it a little bit for himself, just hold it there, he can handle it. Now, if people tried to do something like that, yeah, it's going to collapse. But God, who set it up and suspended things, I mean, you look at the moon, it's just hanging in the air. There's no strings under it. There's no strings over it. There's no strings around it. It just hangs there. So God is not worried about the universe collapsing on itself. But God can do anything that he needs to do. Amen? And this is something we have to understand and recognize and embrace, that God can do anything that he needs to do. But I said this, and this is very important. We don't go up to mountains and try to prove this scripture. In other words, we don't say to Mount Rainier, mountain, get out of my way, and wait for it to move. Because that's, God did not give you the permission to do that. You only can do the things, the impossible things, when they are in line with the plan of God. This, if we were to take this scripture and speak to the mountain to move, it would be just like doing what the Satan told Jesus to do to the rock. He says, if you're hungry, command that rock to be made bread. Now, how many know that Jesus could have done that? But why didn't he do it? Huh? Yeah, he would have been led by the devil instead of the Spirit of God. So when we take this passage and say, I'm go see if I can move me a mountain, you're now in the flesh and no longer in the Spirit. So as long as the Spirit leads you, and if the Holy Spirit says, speak to this mountain, I guarantee you that mountain will obey you. And you might say, man, that takes great faith. It takes exactly what verse 24 says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But prayer has to be spirit-led, spirit-directed, and spirit-inspired, not based on what you think. So if I take this passage and try to speak to a mountain, it'll never move for me. But for God, it will move. Amen? Amen. So let's go to the next passage. And that is Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and 28. Luke 11, 27 and 28. And it says here, and it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who what? Hear the word and what? Keep it. Hear the word of God and keep it. So this lady was saying, blessed is your mother because she raised a great child. And that's a great compliment. But he says, but rather blessed is a person that hears what the word says and does it. That's more of a blessing. Amen. It's great to have great parents that raise you right, teach you the right things, lead you in the right way. But God says, even more than great parents, it's better to know the word, hear the word, and do the word. Because that will carry you even further than your parents' instruction. Amen? Amen. All right, let's try to finish these verses real quick. Let's go to Hebrews. Chapter 4, verse 2. And then after that, we'll go to James, chapter 1, verse 21. So Hebrews. And it said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Let's read that again because that's very, very important. The Bible says faith comes by where? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But here, this passage says these people heard, but it wasn't mixed with faith. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So that tells us that in order for us to have the word to profit us, what does it mean to mix the word with faith? It means do it, just like James says. And we're not going to read that part of James, but we're going to read another part. So let's go to James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, and then we'll get into some examples of what we're talking about tonight. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. This is a verse of a song that I read, so this is one of those verses that I memorized. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, not this part, this wasn't in the song, and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So what does he say? Receive the word implanted. What does that mean, implanted? That means put in your heart. That's trying to take up root in your heart. But then he says, but be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, isn't that amazing that the word of God says if you're only a hearer and not a doer, you have been deceived. Wow. Now, that's amazing because most people would not think that you can be deceived. Well, how can you be deceived? Well, you're deceived because you're not applying the things that you say you believe. So you're walking in deception, and that's going to lead to a bad result if you don't change that. says, for anyone who is a hearer, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So that's amazing. You look at yourself in the mirror, and then you walk away, and you can't remember what you look like. Now, how is the word akin to that? Well, the word shows who you are. It shows your need for God, for the things of God, for righteousness, for truth. The word shows you that. But if you walk away and not do the word, you act as if you weren't shown that. So you don't remember what you were shown. That's like just like looking in the mirror. You looked in the mirror. It's like, oh, yeah, it looked pretty good. And then you go away and you didn't realize your hair wasn't combed. And you missed a lot of parts. It says, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, notice how he calls the word the law of liberty. He uses these terms interchangeably. Did you catch that? What does that mean, the law of liberty? I mean, coming out of the conference, that means it's the law that brings freedom. The word brings freedom. If you are a what? A doer. Not a hearer, but a doer. He says, but and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. So we always talk about, Lord, bless me, bless me. Be a doer. He says, you will be blessed if you were a doer. You can't help but be blessed when you're a doer. It's just a natural progression of doing. Does that mean you won't go through? No. That means in the midst of going through, you will be blessed. Amen? And it's not always a material blessing, although material blessings do come with it. The blessing is that you see God is able to sustain you in the times that are hard. Amen? Amen. So, let's look at some examples of people who did not apply the word in their lives. This is a couple of easy examples. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, and then Genesis 3, 1 through 7. And you all know what that is. You might say, well, how did they have the word? How did Adam and Eve have the word? They walked with the word every day. But look at verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15. And it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, everybody say commanded. So now was Adam in sin at this point? He wasn't. He had not sinned. So God's commanding him, even though he was not in sin. So this is the word from God. This is the only word God gave Adam. But look what he says. God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right? So that's the word that Adam is given. That's the gospel Adam is given. All right? Now let's jump to 3, 1 through 7. Now this is an example of the parable of the sower in action. All right? Adam heard the word, right? So look who comes. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Isn't this what the parable said? When the word is given, the enemy, those who don't understand it, the enemy comes and he tries to do what? Steal it. What's the devil doing to Eve here? Stealing the word that she was given. And notice the devil knows what God said. It's not like he makes up something that God didn't even say. But he puts it in a question and not in a statement. And watch out for the people who want to question what you believe. Watch out for those questioners. Why do you believe what you believe? And then we go away and say, yeah, why do I believe what I believe? So you have to know what you believe. So when they ask you those questions, you just simply say, because it's true. There's no debate about it. It's true. And then the better question is, why don't you believe what I believe? And why don't you acknowledge that you need somebody to save you from your sin, because you know that you're a sinner? Everybody knows they're a sinner. We all say it every day. What's the favorite line? Well, nobody's perfect. Well, if nobody's perfect, that means we're all sinners, right? All right. But anyway, go on. He says, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the tree, fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree, fruit of the tree from which, excuse me, the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, Adam added that part. Because obviously Eve, the Bible does not say Eve was there. Matter of fact, I don't even believe Eve was created when God gave Adam the commandment. So Adam is the first preacher, if you will, because he preached the gospel to Eve. Amen? So he probably said, Eve, let me come over here. You see that tree right there? Not only can we not eat it, I don't even want you to touch it. So, because if you don't touch it, guess what? You can't eat it. So it was actually a good exposition of the word, because if we don't eat it, don't touch it, we'll be fine. But the enemy comes in to take the word. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now notice, remember the parable? What did the parable say? He comes to steal the word. Then he comes with persecutions and tribulation or trials or tests, okay? And then he uses the cares of this life. So notice what she says. So she says, the tree was good for food, which is the cares of this life. You might say, how does that, the cares of this life? What is the primary concern for people? If you don't eat, everything else doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't have enough to eat, you're not thinking about your job. You're not thinking about anything else but eating. So this is a care of this life, that it was pleasing to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. All of those are the cares of this life that she put over the command or the word of God. And not just her, because we say she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband and with her, and he ate. Now, what happened to Adam saying, don't touch it? What happened to the don't touch rule? Do you think when she brought it to him, what did he say? Didn't I tell you not to touch that? Slap it out of her hand. Put that down, like you do. Your kids, they come over there, put that down. You know, got a snail in their hand or something. Your kids ever do that? My kids used to bring me, put that thing down. Anyway, you know, kids do crazy things. Ooh, Dad, look. I said, put that down, boy. But he didn't do it, and they ate. The eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So notice, these did not do as Hebrews 4:2 said. What did Hebrews say? For the word did not profit them, because it was what? Not mixed with faith. Faith comes what is faith? Honestly, faith is just trust. They trusted the devil's word over God's word. They trusted their need for what the devil presented to them over what God said he had already given them. And isn't that weird? That's such a weird dynamic. Here they are. He says that if you eat this tree, you'll be like God. And we know that in verse 126, God said, he said what? Let us make man in whose image? So you mean to tell me they were already like God? So what was he really offering them? Nothing. I mean, we see that now, but they didn't see it. And of course, they weren't aware of the fact, and this is where the innocence comes in of Adam and Eve. They were not aware that there was somebody around that would lie to them or attempt to deceive them. This is an important point. And some people ask, well, how come God did not warn Adam and Eve against the devil? Anybody have an answer for that? Because if they had just did what he told them to do, the devil doesn't matter. If the devil comes to you and says, eat this tree, I said, man, I'm not studying that tree. I got 999,866 trees I can eat from. I'm surely not going to choose the one that God told me not to eat. So the devil was not a factor if they obeyed. But because he tricked them and deceived them, but even in the midst of his attempt to deceive, had they just fallen back on the truth of the word that they were told, this could have been avoided. And this also puts into play what another passage that now we know about, which says that God will not allow you to be tempted more than you're able to bear. But then we stop there. He says, but with every temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that you're able to bear it. So what was Adam's and Eve's way of escape? Obedience. Everybody's way of escape is obedience. Everybody say, my way of escape from all temptation is to obey God. Think about that. Think about Joseph. The woman wants to commit adultery with him. He knows that that's against God's will, right? So what is his way of escape? Not to commit adultery. Now, Joseph got up and got out of there and ran. But his way of escape was obey the word of God. And you won't have to worry about falling into adultery. Now, he was lied on. He was put in jail because he was lied on. And he stayed in jail for at least 2 years. How about that for somebody that was, what's the big thing now? Injustice. That was the greatest of all injustices. Joseph had no business being put in jail. He didn't do anything. But it didn't matter because his way of escape was the word. And the word got him out. The word continued to give him favor. Amen? Joseph's life is a life of favor. Everywhere he went, he was promoted. Even in the jail. As the guy said, well, you know, Joseph is the model prisoner. We could put everything in his trust and let him handle the prison. He went to Potiphar's house. He's over Potiphar's house. He goes to Pharaoh's house. He's over Pharaoh's house. Everywhere he went, he was promoted. Why? Because God gave him a way of escape, which is obedience. So Adam and Eve did not apply the word. If they had done what they had been doers of the word in that context, what would it have meant to do the word? It's simple. It's right there. This is not a trick question. To do the word in this is just to obey what God had told them to do. Doing the word is just obeying what God tells you to do. The problem is we look at the word and we say, God, that seems too hard. That's hard. It's hard to obey the word. But you have to do it anyway. All right. So now let's look at the next guy who struggles with obedience. This is probably going to be the last one we'll be able to get to tonight. The story of their children, Cain and Abel. I always get mixed up who was first, but as I was reading this, obviously Cain was the oldest. But anyway, it says, And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now let me see if I can do something here real quick. I'm going to read the NIV, that same verse. Verse 4, it says, Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. All right, so let me go back to New King James. So, because a lot of people say that, well, God didn't have any respect. No, he did respect his offering, but he respected or favored Abel's offering more. Anybody know why he did? Takes the guts to kill something. But remember, Abel is, he's offering a sacrifice. Notice what Abel offers. He just doesn't take anything, but he does what? He takes the firstborn of his flock. So it's like if you want to put it in terms of the offering, it's a first fruit offering. He gave the first, the best. It's just like somebody came to the church and they gave $1,000. But then somebody else sold their house and gave all the money of their house from the sale of their house to the church. Now, which offering is bigger and a greater sacrifice? Why? Because they gave up everything that they had, possibly. So that's the context in which, but it wasn't that Cain's offering wasn't any good at all. He just was showing that Abel had an understanding of the covenant that God required. And notice how Adam and Eve's children understand sacrifice the innocent for the guilty. He kills a lamb of the flock and he offers it to God as a burnt offering. This is a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Abel does that, and so Cain is mad. So the Lord says to Cain, everybody says, the Lord says, whenever you see that, that's the what? That's the same as what? That's the word of God. Because we call the Bible the word of God, so if God is speaking, that's the word of God, right? So here's the word of God to Cain. Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, what is he trying to tell Cain? Come on, talk to me. What is he telling him? He's warning him. He says, something's wrong, Cain, and if you don't get a hold of yourself, you're going to fall prey to sin. It's sin that's at the door seeking to master you. Just like we talked about in the conference, it wants to put you in its grip of slavery. But what's his way of escape? Obey. And the obedience is master. Don't succumb to the temptation that is now stirring up in your mind. Because he's mad. And the thing is, why would he be mad at Abel? Abel didn't do anything but offer an offering. Why be mad at him? Just do better. Right? Instead of saying, man, why does he always get all the favor? Just do better the next time. Has nothing to do with Abel. But notice what, we know the story. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And then now he's a murderer and a liar. See how sin is now mastering him. Mastering him. He is the servant of sin now. Because he would not obey the word of God. He would not apply the word that was spoken to him. He fell prey to every temptation that was in his mind. And notice how quickly, we're just one generation from the fall and we have our first murder. Didn't take him too long. That's because the Bible says the devil was a what? A murderer from the beginning. And this is the example of it. So we see Cain cannot fulfill the promise that God gives him. What is the promise that God gave him in that word? He'll be accepted, and then read on a little further. He talks about when sin is trying to master you, but he says you. So he tells him that he has the ability to overcome sin. I'm going to say that again. God told Cain that he had given him, by obeying, the ability to overcome the sin that is in his heart. All he had to do was what? Obey. You see how easy it is to be an overcomer? Just obey. Apply the word that you hear and do it. Walk in it. Now he could have said, yes, I'm mad at Abel. I don't know why. And then if he had allowed the word to really get into his heart, it would have been revealed to him that he had no reason to be mad at Abel. And he could have then went to Abel and said, forgive me because I was mad at you, and it was only because I was jealous. Because you really hadn't done anything to me. Amen? Amen. I'm about to stop there. It's 8:30. So let's stand.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.